Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
There's legitimate things we can criticize everybody for, including me, but when you start talking about being an autocrat, all I do is I look at my constitutional powers and I govern in a way to advance the principles that I believe in. I'm passing things through the legislature. That's the constitutional way to do business here. They get mad if we sign legislation, but I'm not just doing it alone. And I would note, they don't have the same criticism of Biden if he does unilateral forgiveness of student loans or some of these other things. So I think a lot of it's misplaced.
You know, it's interesting. I was listening to the full interview that Piers Morgan did with Governor DeSantis. I think that's this published Friday, and I was finally getting around to that. I've got a lot of stuff I've been listening to. And this is one, you know, like one of the criticisms. And Piers Morgan is, you know, asking fair questions, I thought. And one of the questions was, you know, hey, you get styled as this, you get styled as that. He's like, well, so what I do is I look at the Constitution and I look at my powers and look at the things I'd like to accomplish. And then I try to do what I can and also get legislators to buy into the ideas that I'm offering. And then they pass laws and then I sign them. And what's the problem now? You know, like it's funny because, you know, 3/4 of the state legislature has an R behind their name in part. No doubt, because of Governor DeSantis and the red wave of Florida last year, right? Or 2 years ago. That's a good quick math. Yeah, last year. So that's part of it. But he says, you know, you complain about me, or some people complain about me being this, you know, what the dictator of the South, or what they call him? What was the one that the first Hitler?
Tropical Hitler.
That's right. Tropical Hitler, yeah.
That's my man. Don't talk about him.
And, you know, but then when, you know, Biden tries to do through executive action, you know, billions and billions and billions and billions and dollars of federal money grants in loan cancellation. Ho-hum. Right. See, he's right. It's, you know, what's your basic, your principled criticism? And then, you know, of course, later on in the interview, it came up a little bit differently. And I thought this was kind of funny.
But even for someone like you, as I say, your star rises and you start being called the new Hitler, the new Mussolini, the new Genghis Khan. That's all been said about you by people. It's quite extraordinary.
Yeah, but I think it reveals them more than it says anything about me.
Do you care about that kind of thing?
No, honestly, I think if they have to resort to stuff like that, I mean, think about it. Those names, when I'm the state that's the fastest growing and the number one net in migration, if that was true, people would be fleeing Florida, and I wouldn't have won by 1.5 million votes. So I think it's that they have trouble really hitting me on substance. And so they got to resort to some of the knee-jerk stuff. So it kind of just confirmation that I'm over the target.
Yeah, Florida, that horrible, terrible, repressive place that everybody wants to live in.
Isn't it great?
Right. I mean, like, okay, son, let's look at the evidence, right? You know, this, last time I checked, and it's, look, I'll be honest, it's probably been, let's see, when's the last time I was out of the state? I guess it would have been for Christmas. You know, we went to Illinois for Christmas. But the last time I checked, Highway 29 through Atmore is still open both directions. I-10, anybody go to Mobile recently? Still open though, right? In both directions? I-95, you can still, I'm just, because I haven't personally checked, and I don't want to assume. You know, my job is to report facts. I don't want to assume. But I believe, I'm fairly sure, as far as I know, the highways are open in both directions. You can still take a plane. You can still take a boat. But the last I checked, more people are coming this way than are going that way. And he's right. So, yeah, this horrible, terrible, awful place that more than a million people wanted to come live in. So it's just kind of, you know, it's one of these... answering a philosophical objection with a fact that proves the philosophical objection is false. Because, you know, he's a lawyer. You know, like Harvard, Yale. No, he's some country bumpkin. He's a doofus. You know, what do you mean? He was the legal advisor for SEAL Team 1? What do you,
was he?
Oh, yeah. No, that's what he did when he was in Fallujah. Yeah. I mean, like,
that's what he did in his old days.
Yeah, that's like the former job. Right. Yeah. So just, you know, what's the issue here exactly? And he says, you know what I think part of the problem is? I think part of the problem is that I just don't hobnob the way these people want me to hobnob. And so I don't play the game they want me to play, even back when I was in Congress.
These are people who are in the political class, journalist class, politicians, and like D.C. in particular. They get mad. I don't do the cocktail parties. I don't like rubbing elbows with other people. I like doing my job and then spending time with my family. That's just what I do. A lot of the people that are criticizing, you know, they would say, oh, he doesn't do well with donors. He doesn't glad hand with them. And yet I raise more money than any non-presidential candidate in the history of America. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it seems like he's doing okay. You know, I love that answer, though. I just like to do my job and then go spend time with my family. That's such a great answer, don't you? Oh, man. He's just like me. I love it. You know, and they want to see people like me go to these parties and hang out and spend time basically away from my family, away from my kids, and, you know, spend more time with them. And why on earth would you do that? You know, especially when the last time I checked, you know, my wife is smoking.
I don't think I could have done any better in life. I mean, I really don't. Not just to have a friend. You know, she gets more beautiful as she gets older. And we have three wonderful kids. She's a great mother. She's a great first lady. I mean, she's really the whole package. And, you know, there's a picture that I have, 2019 inauguration, 2023, sitting at the desk, same pose. She's prettier in 23 than she was in 2019. And she had a kid. She went through 4 years of this nonsense. And she beat breast cancer.
Yeah.
And how do you end up being prettier after 4 years of that? She finds a way to do it.
Oh.
I love Governor DeSantis.
I know. But yeah, he's, you know, he's got no charisma. He's overreaching his authority. He doesn't know what people want. He's blah, blah. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, what's so terrible about him? He doesn't fight back on social media against Trump. Ah, terrible. He doesn't want to get into a mud-flinging war with the monkey. I mean, like, that's, you know, like, that's... Oh, that's terrible. No, he doesn't care. Like, how is that profitable for the people? That was actually my favorite answer of the day. I don't have time to share that one right now. But, like, his answer on Trump is, how does it... Yeah, I will. All right, fine. But this is honestly, this is my favorite clip from the whole thing. Because if you hear what he's really saying here, this is... God, this is so smart.
You've not been sucked into responding to any of the taunts. Is that a deliberate strategy?
I'm just not following it. I mean, I get taunted and I get attacked every day. I mean, you see some of that. To me, it's just kind of background noise. It's not important for me to be fighting with people on social media. It's not accomplishing anything for the people I represent. So we really just focus on knocking out victories day after day. And if I got involved in all the undertow, I would not be able to be an effective governor. So I don't think it's something that makes sense for me.
Okay. At first glance, that's just a good answer, right? At first glance, that's just, well, this is why, you know, because it doesn't seem useful to me to fling back at Trump. Oh, no, no, no. That's an incredibly potent criticism of former President Trump. Because what was Trump's habit? He's always on Twitter. He's always answering. He's always saying something. He's glued to the TV to see what people are saying about him. He's obsessed with what people are saying about him. And what DeSantis is saying is, well, that's one way to lead, is to spend all of your time fixated on everybody and all they're saying about you and hitting back every time they say something. That's one way to lead. Of course, there's a different way to lead, which is I'm just going to focus on doing what's right. I'm going to ignore what's going on social media because it doesn't make me more effective for Florida. And then I'm just going to go spend time with my family. And I'm going to be more effective as a governor when I do things that way. That's not just an answer about why he doesn't respond to Trump on social media. That's an answer about why he's a better executive than Trump. And drawing a very subtle but vivid contrast in leadership styles, in personal insecurity about the world, the, you know, ego, all of that stuff. Like, there's all this subtext in the things that he's saying that are really styled, if you're looking for it, as this is me and that's him. So I'm, you know, he's not saying he's running. He's running. He's 100% running. 99%. Okay, 99%. I don't know it for sure. It could turn out not that way, but I think for sure. 520 here on News Radio 92.3. Storms right now, by the way. There's some fairly serious, we're not under any severe watches right now, but it's raining quite a bit, and that storm system is basically stretching all the way from Mississippi through Panama City. So it's right along the Gulf Coast. So everywhere in the listening area, Scambia and Santa Rosa County this morning, anticipate rain, possibly, you know, thunderstorms, that kind of stuff all throughout the morning. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you choose your next Volkswagen from the lineup of crossovers and SUVs at Beadmore Imports, will you choose price or a competitive finance rate? Well, how about you choose both? That's right, the 2023 VW Tiguan S with driver's assist package and third row seating is now from $29,352 and with an available APR of 4.9% for 60 months. The Taos SE from $30,996 and now available with 4.9% financing for 60 months. And the biggest SUV of them all, the Atlas SE with technology from $42,632 and a finance rate of 4.9% for 72 months. So with price, financing, and selection, the only thing you need to decide is when you'll be stopping by Piedmore Imports to drive your new VW. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Piedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Price before tax, tax, title, and dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through PCI. See dealer for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola. Online at newsradio923.com or on our mobile app.
Sometimes I wish I could boldly go where no man's gone before. But I'll probably stay in Aurora.
Good morning, 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne joins us from the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
A group of Republican senators has introduced a measure Monday that would overturn President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. That proposal, brought forth by Louisiana Senator Bill Cassidy, asserts that Biden's executive action would favor a small group of borrowers and leave behind Americans who hold other forms of debt. President Biden has ordered all U.S. flags at the White House and other federal buildings to be flown at half staff. This is in honor of the victims of that terrible school shooting yesterday in Nashville, Tennessee. That'll be in effect through Friday. And speaking of that, Nashville Mayor John Cooper thanking local police there for keeping what he's calling the city's worst day from becoming an even greater tragedy. Of course, right now they're saying 3 elementary school children and 3 adults died in that shooting yesterday.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Yeah, I was trying to decide how much I wanted to talk about Nashville today. And because you may notice I don't talk a lot about shootings, mass shootings. I mean, when I have when they're local, like when something happens here, I have the police talk about it. I'm not convinced that it does an awful lot of good in the world for us to focus on these things all the time. In part because, you know, we have this philosophy about some kinds of crime, suicide in particular, that we don't report on it. You know, that's kind of a news industry standard that typically you don't report on suicide. And do you know why that is? I mean, you know, okay? Because it glamorizes it. Because it gets it attention. Because it makes it seem like something that people might want to do. And the more you talk about that, the more it normalizes it. And the more it normalizes it, the more of the thing you get. So I have a genuine concern that when it comes to certain kinds of crime and mass shootings, and particularly school shootings, may well fall into that category of maybe it's better not to talk about it so much. Not because, you know, we're trying to hide the facts that happen, but what's the real value, the real benefit? Because what does it do, okay, when we talk about it? Well, it desensitizes, normalizes, glamorizes, gives people ideas, you know? Oh, like, I hate to do this way, but I'll mention it. In this case, you had, transgender person, which I don't have any idea whether that's relevant to anything any more than saying that it's a white person or a woman or a man or 28. Or, you know, like, the first reports were that it was a woman, and then we found out that the person's transgender, and what does that have to do with anything? Right? I mean, we don't know. And even if it does have something to do with it, well, okay, so let's imagine some hypothetical motive that's connected with gender issues. Does that solve anything? What lesson would that teach us about how to handle? I mean, it's nothing. That's why, like, the manifesto, okay? People want, legislators are calling for the manifesto to be released. Okay, well, why? I mean, you want to read it? You want to find out why somebody wanted to become a mass murderer? You think that's going to help us prevent other people? You think that's, I mean, like, it's, what we really want, just be honest, what we really want is we want an easy explanation. We want to be able to fit a horrific event into some sort of pattern that, because it's a pattern we've talked about before, it feels safer to us because we've sort of categorized the harm. But it doesn't make you safer to do that any more than saying, oh, horrible accident, somebody died, one was drunk driving. Oh, well, okay, so we understand why that happened. Then that accident becomes more of a, you know, well, we understand that one better. It doesn't make anybody safer, though. That's the human nature, right? If we have a description of the thing, if we have an explanation of it from that particular incident's point of view, that makes us feel like we get it better, but it doesn't actually make anybody safer. Anyway, so back to this particular case, this person carried what looks like, my best estimate, looking only at the pictures, it's amazing to me how shoddy the reporting is typically on this stuff, but it looks like a one rifle that might have been like a, you know, chambered in 5.56 or something like that, like a rifle ammunition, one that looks like it was a 9mm rifle, and one that was probably a 9mm handgun is what it looks like. Okay, so that's all out in the news now, right? Three guns. Two assault style is what they say, although there's a very big difference between the one caliber and the other caliber. Okay, so somebody who hears this on the news or watches this on the news and says, oh man, good idea, multiple weapons. Got that, next time I want to do something evil. We have the news that there was no armed guard at this school. Why that's the case is amazing to me, that you would have a school which would have a couple of hundred people in it and you wouldn't have an armed guard. Because it's a private school, and apparently wasn't required by law, or they didn't invest in one themselves. And so somebody says, oh, you know what I want to look for is I want to make sure no armed guard. Okay, check, got that. They made a map. Oh, that's smart. You understand? Like, all of the details that get reported about this serve to instruct other people. Is that helpful? Is that profitable? Is that useful? And all it really does, okay, all it really does is it makes you horrified at the event. It makes you angry and sad. People who are in favor of the Second Amendment get angry at people who want to limit gun access. People who are in favor of limiting gun access are angry and horrified and use profanity against people who believe in gun ownership. And, of course, all of this happens within only 24 hours of the incident happening, and we have an entire community in Nashville that is in just shock and grief. And so I go on the air and I talk about this and what's the remedy and how to, I mean, just there are times when, honestly, it just seems so pathetic, that way of dealing with human tragedy. So sometimes I say, maybe I just won't play this game quite the same way. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Police in Nashville released surveillance video of Audrey Hale shooting out the glass side doors of a school before going in and killing six people.
Hale killed three children, identified as nine-year-olds Evelyn Deekhouse, Hallie Scruggs, and William Kenny, as well as three adults, Cynthia Peake, who was 61, Catherine Kuntz, 60, and Mike Hill, 61.
Fox's Jonathan Hunt. Former President Trump, under investigation in New York, last week on social media posted a picture of him with a baseball bat next to a picture of District Attorney Alvin Bragg. He's since taken it down.
I posted a very positive article. And whatever picture they put up, my people didn't put up the picture. I think the picture maybe was either in the article or was put in the article later.
Trump with Fox's Sean Hannity. The grand jury yesterday heard more testimony from former National Enquirer publisher David Pecker. That grand jury does not meet today. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio, 92.3 right now. It is a rainy Tuesday morning, 70 degrees in Pensacola. Polls open in Century today. The special election to fill two town council seats will be happening. That'll start at 7 o'clock this morning until 7 o'clock this evening, and you can vote at Century Town Hall for residents of Century. Photo ID is required for all voters. Town council seats 3 and 4 up for vote. For seat 3, Sheila McCall and Evelyn Weber are on the ballot. For seat 4, Eddie Hammond and Alicia Johnson. Well, we've been seeing some strong storms all through the morning. And at North Escambia, in North Escambia County, some people are even reporting golf ball-sized hail. Our friends over at northescambia.com have posted some photos of some of those large ice balls this morning. The big one, almost tennis ball size. A Santa Rosa County inmate with only a few months left in his sentence will now be serving more time for killing another inmate. Milton's Markel Sawyer was sentenced to 30 years in prison yesterday for killing 79-year-old inmate 3 years ago at the Century Correctional Institution. The 26-year-old was found guilty last week of manslaughter after hitting Nelson Sanderson in the head with a combination lock. Investigators say Sawyer told them he killed Sanderson because the Illuminati made him do it. Sawyer's original sentence was due to end in only 9 months. Two suspects have been arrested in that murder of 24-year-old Colby Vincent in Navarre last week. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says when deputies got to that scene, there was a 4-year-old child in the apartment next to Vincent's body. The suspect was identified as the former stepfather of that child's mother, 53-year-old Jason Curtis.
I will say this about Mr. Curtis, though. What a human piece of trash. I mean, to shoot somebody with their 4-year-old child right there.
And Sheriff Johnson said 25-year-old Rachel Moore, the child's mother, is also facing charges in this case for accessory to murder. He says the motive is believed to involve child custody. Channel 3 reporting that Vincent had just received partial custody of that child. Florida's ranked number 12 among states with the fewest COVID-19-related deaths. New study published in the medical journal The Lancet compared states between January of 2020 and July of 2022. In that time period, Florida saw 313 deaths per 100,000 people. Arizona had the highest death rate. Hawaii had the lowest. It's 534, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 First Warning Weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms throughout the morning and afternoon. A few storms could be strong, low in risk for severe weather. As you head into the overnight period, temperatures will be dropping. High today near 75 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 52. We're going to be seeing a nicer day on Wednesday with partly cloudy skies. High near 70 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 53. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And the rain continues this morning. Right now, 70 degrees in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 72 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Whether you're looking for the number one selling diesel lawnmower, utility vehicle, compact tractor, or compact excavator, Coastal Machinery has it all. There's a reason even their competitors use Kubota engines. It's the number one diesel engine under 100 horsepower in the world. Take advantage of 0% long-term financing and large Kubota incentives. Stop by the Kubota field event Friday from 10:30 to 12:30. Talk with Kubota factory reps and enjoy free lunch and door prizes. 6701 Mobile Highway, just north of the Pensacola Interstate Fairgrounds.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Dependable traffic on the fives with local news at the top and bottom of each hour on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 537, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. A little bit of stormy weather all along the Gulf Coast this morning, basically from Mississippi all the way over to Panama City. Basically, it's if you told me it was driving toward like Tallahassee on I-10, that would be an accurate description. That's where your weather is. Going slow in the left lane. Don't you know there's a law against that? You know?
Come on, so, God, speed it up. Yeah, go right. North.
So that's... that's basically what we've got this morning. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Santa Rosa County Sheriff Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Now, I know there's going to be a press conference a little bit later today. Sheriff Johnson's going to give us more information. But what can you tell us at this point about the shooting that was just kind of happening last Monday in Navarre when you and I were going on the air? It was breaking news at that time, basically.
It was, and in relatively short order, our investigators were able to identify a couple of suspects. So by now, two people have been arrested in connection with that homicide. Like you said, Sheriff Johnson is going to be doing a press conference here in just a little bit and give all the details on those two subjects and exactly what their involvement was. But that case is closed. Two people are in jail, and you know, now with the criminal justice process will continue.
Well, good to see that. Good to see that. But we've had another shooting incident take place overnight, right?
We sure did. Early this morning, I believe it was. Early Sunday morning, yesterday morning, our deputies responded to a home in the Navarre district after they received a complaint of a shooting. When they arrived, they found an adult male subject with what appeared to be a gunshot wound to his chest. After they investigated, it appears that this was an instance of domestic violence. Our investigators have not made an arrest yet. They're determining what, if any, charges are appropriate. I think they may be looking into whether or not self-defense could be a legitimate claim or not. So hopefully we'll have some more information on that pretty soon and keep you folks updated.
And that's always the key series of check marks you have to go through, right? Is, you know, okay, there's been,
correct,
you know, a shooting. Did the person lawfully possess the gun? Were they potentially acting in self-defense? Was there a stand your ground element to it? And on. Like, there's a whole series of things you have to look for, right?
Correct. And that's what our investigators do. And that's the process they're in right now, is to determine whether or not this could have been a justifiable homicide.
Gotcha. Very good. You had, and correct me if I'm wrong about this, but you had somebody jump off of the I-10 bridge. Is that right?
Sure did. Just after 11 o'clock last night, one of our patrol units tried to conduct a traffic stop on a car which was traveling on Interstate 10 towards Escambia County. The driver accelerated to over 100 miles an hour, so the deputy terminated any attempts to pursue. But just a short time later, the same vehicle was located on the bridge, driving about 20 miles an hour. Evidently, it had some kind of mechanical failures or difficulties. So once again, the deputy tried to make contact. This time, the occupants of the vehicle all jumped out. One ran down the interstate, and two others jumped over the side of the bridge into the bay. Just a
what?
Short time later, one was... Yeah.
That's not a short drop.
No, it's not. Fortunately, we found one just a short time later clinging to one of the concrete bridge pillars, and he was okay. We had EMS come check him out, and he was okay. So he was taken to jail. Another one was located running down the interstate, and as of yet, we still haven't located the third.
Huh. I'm compelled to ask, any substances involved in this story? Because it sounds like that kind of a story, you know?
Funny you should mention it. In the vehicle, we located two bags containing about 40 grams of marijuana.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you know, in the grand scheme of things that people could have been doing dumb, you know, maybe that's the low level of it, but still, okay, all right, fair enough. And then the last thing that I wanted to ask you about, possibly two, but one is there's a video circulating online about a traffic stop that your deputies performed that, you know, one take on this is it was an escalation, violating somebody's rights, demanding that they get an ID, and then winding up having them basically face down on the ground in cuffs because of, I guess resisting was the charge or was the concern at the moment. Can you maybe clarify what happened here?
Well, I saw that video for the first time yesterday. So in the interest of full disclosure, it is likely that I don't have all the particular facts and circumstances surrounding this incident.
Including the unedited version of it, I assume.
One thing that I would point out is that video clearly has been edited, and it's narrated ostensibly to lead a viewer to reach a particular conclusion.
Sure.
And that method of presenting facts can be and often is somewhat misleading. I have spoken with some of our patrol folks about that particular stop. I've spoken with our general counsel, and it's my understanding that the officers in that particular video, when everything is viewed in context and the video is viewed in its entirety, they were within the bounds of policy and procedure.
We're just kind of in the process of talking about this traffic stop. I guess the real question that people might have from watching this is, to what degree are you justified in telling an officer, no, I don't have to tell you my name. No, I don't have to give you my ID. Under what circumstances is an officer entitled to that, and under what circumstances not?
Well, where you want to be careful with that is there are indeed times where you are entitled to not identify yourselves, and there are indeed times when you are not entitled to not identify yourself. And when you choose not to, you take the responsibility for being correct in your assumption. And I suspect that when we get down to brass tacks, that's what this is going to be a case of. He felt entitled to not identify himself, and the officer disagreed. I suppose it would be very, very difficult for me to list all the occasions
sure,
where you're not.
Sure.
But if there is any type of reasonable suspicion, if he was not free to go, then in all likelihood he would have been required to identify himself if asked. If he was not required to identify himself, then he should have been free to go.
Those two going hand in hand. Okay, well that's I think. Typically, my answer is whatever you need, officer. but I get the other argument too, that if you have civil rights, that do not entitle police officers to do things to you or with you or get information from you. It can be important to be sure that those rights are being protected. Just always seems to me like the time you take that up is probably after the fact. That is you look for remedy later rather than, because things do not typically go well in the front end, and people often have the wrong idea about this stuff as well. Shane Tucker, Chief Deputy of Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, as always, Chief, thanks for the time. Thanks for explaining stuff to us. I appreciate it, sir.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.
Most definitely. 545 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home to sell or to buy, Christina Levmore, she is fantastic on both sides. And, you know, people don't always think about her as the agent you want to use to buying a for buying a home, but think about it. She knows what they should sell for, what the price is, how many, you know, you sell so many homes, you know what the competition is going to look like, you know what the offers are going to look like, you know how to win in a competitive bidding environment, if that's the case, or in a less competitive environment, how to get the best deal. And like I said, she knows all of that. In fact, she was telling me the other day they get really good deals these days, even on new homes, because they know what the market's doing and they're great experts in advising you. But the other thing is, you might, when you hear me talking about Christina Levmore, I know you might think, well, that doesn't apply to me right now because I'm not buying or selling. Okay, fair enough. Maybe, you know, in a couple of years, that's fine. But do you have friends who are buying or selling? And the reason I mention it is because if that's true, and you know that she's such a great resource, maybe when somebody says, you know, hey, I'm thinking about selling my home, say, well, you know, hey, give Christina Levmore a call. Andrew talks about her all the time. I know she's fantastic. At least find out, you know, what she has to offer. And so what you might wind up doing is doing them a favor of helping them find a great realtor who's going to get them the best deal either in buying or selling on the home. So, you know, think of yourself as an advice giver, an advocate. Like people ask me all the time, you know, for recommendations on, do you know a plumber, do you know, right? And I tell them, well, okay, Barbary or whatever. And in this case, you know, if somebody's asking me for real estate, I say, look, obviously, Christina Levmore, she's fantastic. So find out, you know, what she might be able to do for you or for a friend of yours. 723-9158, 723-9158.
Coming up today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Jerry Schaefer, WSRE Director of Education and Outreach, and Mary Riker, WSRE Director of Marketing, will be talking about WSRE station events in April, including Amazing Kids Day for families impacted by autism, a Spanish film festival, and Be My Neighbor Day. Tune in and hear all about WSRE TV today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you haven't been to Home Outlet, you're missing out on the best value on kitchens, baths, floors, and more. You could be saving big on your kitchen remodel with in-stock cabinets starting at $78 per linear foot and in-stock countertops starting at just $63. And with the guaranteed lowest price, you can be sure you're getting the best value for your project dollar. Visit us in-store or shop online for in-store pickup at homeoutlet.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
From county commissioner meetings to the Blues, Andrew covers it all on your morning drive on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thank you all. Thank you.
That wasn't flying. That was falling with style.
Jailhouse Rockaroo straight out of Memphis.
So somebody texted me and said the school voucher expansion that Governor DeSantis just signed yesterday, does that mean that everybody here in Escambia County can send their kid to Catholic high school for free? Not exactly, okay? There are a couple of sort of check marks before something like that could happen. The first one is there has to be space in the school, right? And I don't happen to know whether Catholic has openings or not. But let's assume they do, okay, to take an example. Number one is that you have to have openings, right, because you can't put in more students than you have seats. Number two is they have to participate in taking the vouchers. That's a major limiting factor. The majority, I forget the number, but I believe it's a majority, in fact, almost like a 60% or 70%, like it's a very high percentage of the private schools in Florida simply don't take the government vouchers because they don't want to be entangled with the government. So they don't participate in the program is another one of the issues. And then, of course, let's say they have seats and let's say they take the vouchers. Then the question is, do they what's the tuition? Because obviously some schools, $8,000 is going to cover tuition. And some schools, $8,000 is not going to cover the full tuition. So you might find yourself still needing to make up the gap in the funding that's provided by the state. So that's the kind of long-winded answer to the, can everybody go to Catholic for free right now? Well, not exactly. And I'll have to pull up the list and see, because I did pull this up when I was doing research on this previously about which schools participate and which schools do not. And, you know, there's a lot of schools that just don't participate in it. And so it doesn't gain you. And by the way, some of them, it's not because, like, they don't want to go through the list of things that are required in order to participate. In some cases, they don't need the more students. You know, they're already, like, we're doing okay. And I don't remember whether Episcopal Day School participates. I think they do not participate, if I remember correctly. But, for example, nobody has any problem imagining that EDS is doing okay already. You know, they're like, that's a pretty high-demand school. So it's not like EDS is thinking, oh, thank God, finally, these, you know, rich people can afford to, you know, send their kids to our school. I mean, come on, right? So anyway, no, it's not exactly like that. But good question. You know, very good question. 551 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Vice President Kamala Harris is on a week-long trip in Africa. She met with Ghana's president yesterday and announced a $100 million package to support conflict prevention and stabilization in coastal West Africa. Ride-sharing service Lyft has hired a new CEO as their recent earnings report prompted the company's co-founders to step back from management. David Reicher, he's a former manager at Amazon and Microsoft, took over as their chief executive. And Disney apparently set to do some layoffs starting this week, according to a memo sent out by CEO Bob Iger. They've got three rounds of cuts coming. This first one, I guess total, it'll be about 7,000 employees. They're about to begin the first round of that. This is an effort for them to trim down corporate spending and streamline some operations.
All right, very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 552 on News Radio 92.3. This is a little at a different time, but I don't mind.
I'm glad you don't mind.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton.
I thought it was the quiz. I'm sorry, I got to.
Oh, you, yes, you thought yes. It was like find out which bills are sponsored by which legislators.
Yeah.
All right, no, fair enough.
No, I don't want to do that. This is my marshmallows.
Okay.
And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So this was on the Committee of the Whole, and I did vote against it. And I would like to explain my reasons for that. So, number one, I am not in favor of having an empty building sitting around just to have an empty building. And unfortunately, I see my experience has been in our downtown area is there's been a habit of having empty buildings that are not being utilized for serving a purpose.
So this is Casey Powell, a city councilman in the city of Milton during the city council meeting. This is a little bit ago, about almost 13 days ago now, but it's okay. I still hadn't gotten to cover this yet. And he was talking about a discussion about the Whittle Building. If you are unfamiliar, the short version is the Whittle Building is this old, not really historic, semi-historic building that's in dilapidated condition that we've had an ongoing discussion about whether to refurbish it and try to rent it out, to sell it to somebody, to develop it, or to demolish it and, you know, make way for the future when Highway 90 gets widened, that Whittle Building is going to have to go away. And, you know, so the county owns it, not the city owns it, so that adds extra layers of complication because they're deciding what to do, and the city of Milton is not on board with that. And the question of what to do with the building has become a proxy for the Highway 90 widening opponents and advocates because kind of the theory is that if you keep the building in the place that it's at, then that might interfere with the Highway 90 widening because any roadblock will do. And basically, Casey Powell says, I just hate these empty buildings sitting around downtown, and I want to break this trend. I want to get rid of that trend, and, you know, any way we can do that, if that means renting them out and refurbishing them, if that means demolishing it and getting something else, I just hate having all these empty buildings laying around, which is a fair concern. I agree with that concern. Mayor Heather Lindsay gave her perspective on this, a fairly extended examination of it, based on the future of the Highway 90 widening.
This council is determined to continue asking for something to be studied that's already been studied. And there has to be at some point some repose where we've decided, okay, something has been asked and answered. You know, the question has been reviewed, the question's been studied, it's been answered. Some of us aren't going to like the answer. That doesn't mean that we have to keep resisting the future.
Which is the Highway 90 widening. Her position all along has been, look, I don't necessarily love it, but I think we can't stop it. And so let's see if we can channel it the way that it's going to be the most beneficial for us and get the best version of the Highway 90 widening we can.
And there may be very good reasons to continue to evaluate options. I totally respect that. But there is no indication that we're going to get funding for another study for other options. So at this point, are we looking obtrusive or obstructionist to FDOT? Because it's been given to me as advice from people who know in the south end of the county who've experienced this, that the funding can just be picked up and used for some other project with a community that wants the money.
And there are some people who would celebrate in the streets if that were the case, because they would view that as some kind of a win. But of course, if FDOT just does what they want to do and then they bail on the widening of Highway 90 right through downtown Milton, that would make all of your traffic problems even that much worse.
Are we going to be responsible for that if that were to happen? Could that happen? Yes, it's in the realm of possibility that they'll just take it off. They'll just say, you know what, that's fine. We'll just have six lanes that end at two lanes right there at Stewart Street. I mean, it sounds crazy, but could it happen? If FDOT does not want to force something on the community that the community doesn't want. They are on record as saying that, and Mr. Compton and others have been very clear, this community doesn't want that. Whereas I hear from other people in the community who think it's a done deal and they don't have to advocate for it anymore. The expansion's going to happen.
And so what she's getting at there is it's the opponents of the expansion a lot of times who have shown up and, you know, pitched the fit. And there are actually some who are in favor of it as well. It's kind of a mixed bag on this particular issue. But that a lot of people don't bother coming to the meetings because in their minds the widening of Highway 90 is already done. And why would they bother showing up to meetings to remind people of why we should do something that we're already committed to doing? You know, which makes sense. People don't typically show up to meetings to say, hey, I sure am glad we're doing that project we're already doing. You know, like again and again and again and again. And so she says, look.
So if y'all follow my point, and I'm sorry I'm talking so long about this, but there are people who believe they don't have to advocate for Highway 90 expanding. And yet this council has made clear to FDOT and the TPO, they don't want that to go through downtown Milton.
And the reason that all matters is because, again, on the Whittle building, the question was whether they were going to send a letter to the county to, hey, one more time, pretty please, could you reconsider getting rid of that building, demolishing it, which has already been decided. It just hasn't been done yet. And the people who are opposed to the widening, again, are hoping to keep the building because maybe in their mind, in the long run, that winds up thwarting FDOT. And so the letter voting to send this letter over to FDOT, or over to the county, excuse me, on a 5-3 vote, you had council members Cusack, Farrow, and Vance voting no, okay? But this is send the letter, say, hey, can you look at this one more time? Which, again, what Heather's saying is, God, every time, everything you guys keep on doing is trying to thwart this Highway 90 widening, and it might wind up jeopardizing the whole project, which some people would view as a win. And she's saying that's not a win because then we get like the worst of both worlds, basically. 558 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going on? This is just kind of a smallish sort of thing, but it'll get people all riled up there for I'm going to report it. Now, did you see that there's a song, I guess it's a Dolly Parton or it's a Miley Cyrus song, and they were going to do some duet where the kids were going to sing at a class concert the song by them, but it's like,
oh, the rainbow.
Rainbow, yeah. Right. So, you know, naturally that's going to get a no these days because it's controversial. But what's interesting to me is like there's all these other songs like She's a Rainbow or Rainbow Connection or whatever that
it was Kermit's Jam.
No, you can't sing rainbow songs anymore of any kind. Isn't that... That's a weird reaction,
that's
right?
Stupid.
You can't sing the Muppet song because people might misunderstand.
I hope
what a
sun
rainbow...
doesn't come through glass anymore. Yeah, right. You know what I mean? Look
better not
for
play
the
any,
prisms.
Better not play any Dark Side of the Moon. You know, definitely not.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.